convention overview, people talking about the convention, people talking about what they're bringing to the convention, news on. News on the life of fans in this particular one here. We have someone talking about marriage. Someone's mentioning that everyone's getting married. All my friends are getting old.
Things don't change that much.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We got con reports. This particular one has a party list. I love this. We have a party list for a Star Wars party. There's a party for people who want to go to LA. There is.
The Clarion party.
That, I don't know what that is. I wish I knew what that
is.
And my favorite, the Friends of Bob. So Jimmy had a little party for themselves.
Bob.
Bob. Hail Bob.
Slack.
He's a sub-genius.
Yeah, he's a sub-genius. If you don't know, then I can't tell you.
Even the oil guy.
They talk about fandom. This one, they speak in kind of their own little language. This guy, he calls himself a Sircon. These were serious fans, as opposed to less serious fans. I forget what he calls them here. They weren't, there was a couple names, but they would call themselves Fen a lot. We have stories about particular things that happened. This one, I forget where it's on here. They mentioned the elevators fail. Of course, yes. Of course, total chaos. And of course, the elevators. The elevators failed at this convention in 1982. It's always the same. It never changes.
War never changes.
We have people bitching about art prices. Prints do not belong in our shows. You should not be paying $20 for a print. That's outrageous. That's insane. Notable in this also, an intro from Fred Patton, who in the history of furry is foundational. This is some early work. It, like I said, this is not a furry zine. They just kind of cram them in there. You can't make these guys stop. That's what makes them furries. They just keep drawing the furries. And then we move on from there to things which would be called, this is pretty much furry. The CFO, the Cartoon Fantasy Organization, Mark Ferlino's, not his personal little club, but he's very active in it. Kimba hanging out here with Fanta. Fanta, the mascot of the Cartoon Fantasy Organization, pretty much, if you want to talk about personas, this is pretty much what you got in 1982. The CFO existed since 77. They were West Coast based. This newsletter was mostly for club business. It was more like a video trading zine than anything else. There's a lot of like Mark Merlino's list of his videotape collection, which you could get from him. Fanta, you could get a mostly complete Fanta if you run into these guys, Kimba, if you run into these guys, which is not exactly easy to do at that time. I had something marked in here, but it is gone, of some furry merch. The marker fell out. Oh. So this is from 1986. The Centaur's Gatherium. Specifically for Centaurs. I love this magazine. I love this thing so much. It's so cute. It's before like the furry fandom kind of coalesces, but furries definitely exist at this time. But they're not, like the Centaur fandom is a distinct thing. It mentions other centaur zines in it, so there was other stuff going on at this time. It has, there's some Terry Smith in here, Steve Martin, Donna Barr, Jim Rhodes, Steve Galachi, Bill Fitz is in here. A lot of the people who would eventually go on to start Furry. It also has, this is issue 3, has the shortest con report I've ever seen. This is all. A panel on the subject of centaurs met at WesterCon Scientific Convention in San Diego, California during the July 4th weekend. The panel was chaired by Christine Mansfield, and it included some other people. And then the next page, that's it. The whole new story. That's it. That's the whole con report. They drew centaurs as pretty much everything. You see, like, the furry tendency to just stick anything into the furry context. We got Walt Disney as a centaur. He's so happy. I love it. He's having such a good time having four legs. I hope they freeze me with a horse body.
Yay.
Notable for a lot of these early zines, you get a whole list. Everybody who subscribes is on this list. I think this is probably a bad idea then. most of these in particular are out on the West Coast. There's one person from New Hampshire in here, and I think one from Mass, but not a lot of people west of the Mississippi. I looked up the one who was in New Hampshire, can't find him anymore. Zantissa Willowmere, if you're here, talk to me. My favorite about these is they have a little, like, you know, they have a little furry code over here, except it's centaur code. And T stands for cat person, which I think the cat people eventually do triumph in this. But there's nothing, at this point, there's nothing but centaurs. You just see centaurs. The cat people are a decided minority, which will change. Definitely will change. Here's one from 87, Centaur Gatherium number 10. Can you fit any fans of Mad Magazine in here? Here's one from Sergio Aragonés. Sergio Aragonés drew a centaur for this magazine. I don't think they have permission to publish it, but there it is anyways. Alfred E. Newman's not in this, just Sergio. Yes.
Are you going to show us the Rogers?
Yeah, that's coming up, don't worry. No, you can leave after that one. I know that's what you're here for. So these are also APAs. APAs, you usually have to submit to get them. You give them art to get the magazine, or you give them art to not pay for the magazine, although this is like a buck anyways. In APAs, you get a lot of little call and response. These are basically little posts. Jim Groh here talking to Donna Barr about their characters. Donna Barr, quite the controversial figure. This is World War I, guys, don't worry. World War I only. Only World War I, she'll tell you that. She's still on Twitter. And she's very anti-racist. She's extremely anti-Nazi. Now, don't be mean to her.
Okay.
I mean, this, like, people considered her to be like very weird then. She was also considered to be very mean because she liked to draw people's characters getting shot by World War I horses. This little guy, who I just think is cute. I just like this little dude. Yeah, he's a centaur of something, I guess. I like his shoes.
Little
shoes.
Hammerhead shark?
Yeah, I don't know. The guy who drew this was a fantasy like cover artist. So by issue 14, this is. I think this was also 87. This, going through these, this is the first time we're going to see Terry Smith use the word furry in here. So you notice by this time, the cat people are just everywhere. You can't really escape them. Jim Groh is drawing his anthropomorphic horse for everything. She's not on four legs, but they kind of let her in there because she's a horse. Terry Smith. I mean, everyone should know who Terry Smith is, right? Please. Classic, just a classic. She's in a lot of these, and her work is always among the best. Now, these are a little short on convention stuff, but here we have a work by Ray Rooney. This is in 88, and it is a centaur at a furry party, the Centaur Mammal Alliance. You can see there's some anthros in the back there, and the centaur is the one who drew this. So it's I think it's so cute, like a little meeting of their characters. This was before Persona was in like common parlance. The word furry, I think, dates to, according to what I have in here, dates to 84. So this is, there's no furry conventions yet. The furry room parties have just started. And already the centaur knows that they are a separate thing. They are their own entity. The furries are their own thing. You can go hang out.
This one's for you.
Yes.
So issue 21. Yes. Issue 21, there was two versions. A serious version and a silly version. This is the silly version. It has my favorite centaur of all of them in it. Roger Rabbit, the centaur. Can't get over this guy.
That's kind of cursed.
Love that little guy.
Oh my god.
Silly. Yeah, this is the silly one. The serious one you could never have. Yes, this was published out of Colorado Springs. The guy who published this started out in Texas, a guy named, I had it written down but I lost the note. Ed something? Ed Peck. Ed Peck, he was started out in Texas and eventually worked at NORAD.
Wow.
Yeah. With like a professional, like a semi-pro puzzle maker. Eventually did work at NORAD, and we're still here, so thank God for the Centaurs.
What year was that one?
This one is 89. This one's 89. So the Centaurs Gazarum lasted until, I believe, 1990. By this time, it was mostly furry art and furry artists, so they kind of just bled off into other zines. Like I said, we're moving quick. How are we doing on time? Oh gosh, I'm moving way too fast. But these are also very fun. South Furlands. These I found at a comic store in Nashua, New Hampshire. Found almost complete set of them there. They're a zine from Australia. I have no idea how they got here. I don't know how they got to the United States. I found someone who is published in this, and I asked him if these were his copies, and he said no. So more than one person in the U.S. was getting these. They started in 1995 by a guy named Craig Hilton, who claims to be a very important person in the history of furry, but as you will see, maybe he's not exactly telling the truth, or maybe he's just exaggerating himself a little bit. These are also all available online. If you want to read these, just Google South Furlands. A guy named Bernie Dude hosts them all on a website. I implore you to read them. They're so cute. They're so fun. They have a lot of con reports in them, a lot of banter, a lot of people talking about, like, how are we going to do this in Australia as opposed to how do we do this in America? Art is doing kangaroos too packed, that kind of thing. All right, so in 1995, people were already obsessed with talking about furry as, like, in the history of furry. There's too many words here for me to, I'm not going to read this to you, but Craig Hilton, the guy who published this, was obsessed with the history of furry. And this was almost 30 years ago already. So people were already talking about, like, how did we get here, what did we do, and the Australians especially, since this happened very far away from them. This happened in America, and they were just kind of looking at it from afar. They were able to get it through some zines. Yes?
What
year did
you say this was published?
95.
Oh, okay.
This is 95. So it's definitely not proto-furry. Furry is there are conventions at this time. There's more than one convention. There was not one in Australia at this time. So South Burnland starts as a general furry magazine, but a guy named Bernie Doom shows up and starts drawing these chakots. Y'all know what a chakot is? Chakots, very unique. One of the first like made species. They have some very specific anatomy, which Bernie will go on about, and some of which I do not like to talk about, a little awkward. But Bernie Doom loved to draw. He drew them for a lot of zines, not just South Burlands, but they kind of let him take over South Burlands. This is the first one. It's in issue number 3, which is 1996. Here we go, another one, 1996, issue 4. A con report. The holy grail of what you find in these zines. So this is a con report of this. They're going to OzCon. It is not furry, it's a general convention. And at this time, furry in Australia did not warrant their own. They had no panel, they had no room party. This was just the only ones in Australia going there. You can see here, they get called skunkfuckers.
What?
They are called skunkfuckers in 1996 in Australia.
That's where it comes from.
So, no, it predates that by many years. But in Australia, I'm surprised that they knew. I'm surprised that the people knew what to do, what to call furries at the time. Yeah, Skunk with a puppet.
He looks like the villain from Hackers.
What?
Here's another Chakot. You can see that. Ooh, Bernie, he wants to draw it, buddy. He's not under 18, folks. Is anybody here under 18? Please leave. Please go away. I'm sorry. It was in the notes.
I'm confused. What does he want to draw?
I honestly don't know. I've never seen one. I've never seen a Chakot in real life, so I don't know what's down there.
Somehow I don't believe you.
Another one that I just think is funny. Hey, Spider-Man's got an erection. They saw a guy with a boner at a con, folks.
Oh.
And all the furries laughed at Spider-Man. You don't get a lot of filk in furry zines. You don't get a lot of filk in furry zines because it was mostly phased out by the time furry is thing. But you do get it in this one. This is also from 1996. My favorite of this is there's a song here, Furry GIF Artist. Some people saw it, I don't know.
Paperback writer, obviously, but yeah.
Paperback writer.
Yeah, paperback writer. Yes.
Hey, they did Blackbird. They did Rocky Raccoon. They did.
There's also a song. So Furry Madonna. This is a song.
Oh.
On Furry Muck. This is a song I'm posting on Furry Muck with Furry Muck. I heard a story once, I'm not 100% sure this is true, but I was told once that Furry Muck itself killed the entire broadband pipe into Australia at some point in the early 90s. It filled the whole thing going to Australia. Furries knocked out internet for the whole continent. I don't know if it's just Furry Muck, but I know it was a muck. And furries are fighting. There is a scandal. Furries are still very pissed off at each other. Very easily upset. This is an argument between Fred Patton and Craig Hilton, the editor of the magazine, about the usage of the word furry. Craig Hilton claims that he is the first person to write the word furry. He claims he did this in 1984. And Fred Patton here is Fred Patton here is.
Furry scandal.
Somebody lied about using the word furry, folks. I don't know. I don't know if it's true because it all hinges on a general interest magazine called Sick Biscuit Disintegraph, which I have no idea if any of them exist. I don't think that there are any left. And Fred Patton claims to be the first person to use furry in Sick Biscuit Disintegraph number 4. Craig Hilton, later in one of these, here, claims to have written this letter, which was unpublished, in which he was the first person to use the word furry. In they did not publish for obvious reasons. Now, he is not using the word zoophile here to mean someone who has sex with animals. He is just using it to mean someone who is like looking at furry porn. The language is not exactly formed. He's using zoophile to just mean anyone who gets turned on by fur. Because not everyone is. A lot of these are people who just love cartoons, and are amazed that other people are into it sexually. They don't really, the canon doesn't exist yet, so they don't know that other people are doing this at all, necessarily. So he claims that this was never published, but I don't know how anyone would ever prove that. Because, he just says he has the letter himself. Now, in 1990, this is late 1996, the end of 1996, OzCon, they got their own con room. So there are pictures in here of a furry party, very bad pictures, obviously. A furry party in Australia in 1996. Somebody brought their puppet. They're having a lot of fun, screwing around with their plushie pile.
Yeah.
Everyone's having a real good time. They mention here that someone walks through a plate glass window. A dragon walks through a plate glass window at one point. So, down here, this guy right here, they got, who here seen Red Dwarf? So this is Cat from Red Dwarf, who was walking by and they just pull him in. Just pull him into the panel and say, hey, take a picture holding this plushie for me, please. And he seems to really have no idea what's going on. He's just posing with some fans. Sure, here's some more wonderful art by Bernie Q. Not all professional, but very charming. Now, anyone who knows Chakot, they know why these are front and center. You all know what's happening in this story, folks. Chakot's, very specifically, lactate as part of the story plot, as part of the plot of a lot of Chakot stories. There's a lot of talking about, drinking the milk, how the milk comes out. It's very specific. It's honestly charming. It's all, like, it's not that, it's not even that weird anymore.
Specifically milk water.
Yeah.
That's what they have all the time, and then sometimes it's milk.
The Chakot expert is here. Okay, so I mentioned a zoophile's view earlier. So we're going to move on here to this is the grossest thing in my collection currently. Fur Ball was published in 1993, and it's not an APA, it's a folio. It's more of a folio, but it was distributed via the mail, for better or for worse. So this is a compilation of the first 4 issues of Fur Ball.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so the publisher of this tells of legal problems, many of which, no small part by eventual and spiteful sister-in-law who got the cops called on him, even though this stuff isn't illegal. But he did get a visit from the cops for distributing this. I'm not going to show you everything. I don't want to. I don't want to show you everything. If you like what you see here, don't talk to me after the show. I just have it for archival reasons.
Really?
Swear to God.
Here
it is. I like this because it reads kind of like a regular old new post. He's very upset about the shit and the bullshit coming down on him because of this magazine. So, Furt Ball is extremely sleazy, but it has some very charming moments. Because you gotta go to sleazy stuff to see this is to see what modern furries are like now. You have to go into some very sleazy books back then. A lot of early furries very straight.
What year was that? Was that you said?
93.
This was 93.
Yes.
Wow, what a time to be alive.
Yeah. Oh, this one's made in 94, actually. This one's 94. The first issue was 93. Like I said, this is all four first issues combined.
What's that deer up to?
Deer's having some fun. I hope this guy's not dead. You know, I hope she didn't just like find a corpse out there and take the horn, but hey, you know, whatever it's supposed to be for. So here's we're getting to it. So here's the worst I'm gonna show you. This is the worst. I mean, just it's exemplary of the kind of quality you get. And it's obviously not acceptable these days. I just love their little faces. They're having a great time. But this is there is some stuff in here that I don't think is technically legal. I don't know. I honestly don't know in 93 what trouble this guy could have gotten into. But there's also a lot of comedy. I would not like if this happened to me, but cartoons, you can do that kind of stuff.
Who's the artist for these?
This one is... just called TJS. TGS.
How many of these are Steve Galashi?
Steve Galashi's in here, but none of what I'm going to show you is, I believe. His early work is very competent, but not very extreme, you know? It's not like the most out there stuff. And like I said, I'm trying to get through this. I'm halfway done already, and I got a pretty big stack.
Thanks for answering my question.
This is Bill Fitz's best work.
Oh, yeah.
Bill Fitz draws a lot of like these look like Fritz the Cat stuff. And usually he has to keep it relatively clean, just a couple stink lines, but here you go all out. We can get the full Monty here. And like I said, this seems very normal. Like this seems like very standard nowadays, but you had to go into some spooky spots to see this kind of stuff.
He would have thrived on being a high
The way that you find out about a lot of zines is you read the back of whatever you got. This one mentions Victoria's Secret being a zine. I do not have this, but I would love to find it. Fur Lined, another APA. Love to find it. I don't know why. I thought there's also by the same producer there was both a Furry Furotica and a Furry File. Furry File being the clean one, which is weird. Okay. But no, trust me, it is. We got one.
Extremely relatable.
1993. You know, this is pretty old stuff. It's still here. We have not changed one bit. Really have not. So in 1993, going online is a bit of a pain. So they give you a BBS list. You can dial into these BBSs. For any furry needs you might have. And there's a lot. I was actually very surprised how many there are. There's one just for dragons. Super deformed must have been fun. That must have been fun. How super were they? The Matrix? It's 1993, so it's not like. I wonder what it was in 1993. No leather, right? I don't know. Who knows? That was issue one. Here's issue two. What I want to show you is this one. I love scans from this time period. 1993 as well. So your scanner's not going to be looking too good. It makes it look, honestly, surprisingly modern. This looks like something you'd see like a glitch artist doing now, but it's just your scanner size. That's the face I make when I'm drawing. So a lot of the art that you're going to see in these are, like, there's not a lot of quality control, and you can get away with cheating a lot. You can just paste the furry head onto a magazine body. No one really questions that. Yeah, I think it's cute. Bunny, right? Kind of tiny ears for a bunny, but whatever. That guy's definitely. So as we move on into the early aughts, into the earth, by the time, the latest I have is from 2004. By this time, you know, the internet has pretty much killed small press at, like, being distributed at conventions. There's been a resurgence since then, but it's kind of a nostalgic movement. But at this time, you know, we could just go look on VCL and see whatever furries we want. So why am I buying, why am I getting a magazine delivered to my house? They get a lot thicker, because you're just gonna want to get, like, one zine for all of your furry needs. 2004, Fred Patton is still around. Fred Patton's still there. And he's still writing con reports. This is a con report of two conventions, Califer Zero, and the other one's mentioned later.
Conference.
I believe, yes, conference. Oh no, I shouldn't have moved them far. So this I like, because this is 2004 is the first example I can find of someone saying there's so many goddamn kids here. A shocking number of young local furry fans, which is, I think is very important. Up until the mid-aughts, how do you find out about this kind of stuff? You have to have like a science fiction convention background. Yes. You have to be going to cons and meeting people. It's for adults. To get these in the mail, you got to give people some money. You got to send out a check in the mail. You know, until the 2000s, young people don't really have the ability to enter this space. But by 2004, everybody's feeling very old already. because things haven't really changed. Fred Patton expressed his doubt that you can be hypnotized to becoming your becoming your identifying area in your body, mind, and spirit. That you will feel the tail. He doesn't think that this is going to work. Now, this is a hypnotism panel which you must be over 18 to attend. He doesn't say why. He also mentioned, so he didn't, it wasn't a conference, it was something called CACE, which I do not remember what that stands for. It's in Canada. And he mentions sharing the hotel with a soccer tournament for elementary school boys. He doesn't really mention what happens. I wish he was a little more lurid, but Fred Patton is a very polite fellow. So this is getting to the end of the historical value of these, so I'm just going to show you some weird stuff. Pepe is copyrighted to Warner Brothers 1999. I don't think it was made before that. I think he's a little older than that. Maybe I'm wrong. Centaurs still exist, but this one is too many things at one time. We've moved on. The simple centaurs of the 80s are past. So we're very much in a post mode now. We're post centaur. But there is also some, like, art is getting a lot better, as you'll see. This is, you know, there's in the early 90s, late 80s, you don't really see art of this quality, just like refinement. You know, we got professionals who are entering into space, people who want to be professionals. This is Lim Du Liang. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that, but I'm also sure they're not here. So this is the newest thing I have, Fur Nation issue 5. Fur Nation was also had a very big web presence, which didn't really, which kind of ruined the magazine itself. You can see the magazine's all black and white, including this very fun little 3D animation thing we got going on here. So my favorite thing about this particular one is, besides all of this stuff, so, there's a note from the editor in the back. If you want to see the full version of that in color, simply send an email message to issue5@furnation.com and they will email you this in color using an autoresponder. That, of course, is all that, you know, all of that. I don't think it exists anymore. I'm sure somebody still has it. I haven't gotten in contact with Furnation people. I haven't tried. No. I have not. I'm sure there's someone still around, but just haven't looked into that one. I think the black and white's enough for me. Yes?
I've seen the artist name before. They still have a website. I don't know if they're actually posting to it, but it is their own website.
Okay. Well, good.
Gregory's still active.
Oh, okay.
Is it better?
Now? Same quality.
I don't mean to be mean. Yes.
Okay. There were some interesting amateur press associations like YARF and Huzzah They would share their art. They would talk to each other about it and also what's going on in their lives. Scotty Arsenal, Albert Temple, who did Gene Catlow, the late Michael Scott McMurray, Zony Coyote, and so on. And it was just fascinating to look at these. And so there are some of those issues, actually, you could get them in dealer's rooms at some of these conventions.
I'm going to put some money down.
And the other thing is, there was a company called Mailbox Books, Ed Zolna, who had a bunch of small press publications, and he threw in a flyer for something called Albany Anthrocon 1997. So I went, and I've been to every single one. That's how I started with conventions. So at that point, like I say, in the mid-90s, late 90s, you started getting into conventions, and you're right, the internet started to steal away the small press. You had the internet now. Yeah, but that's how a lot of people got into conventions and other parts of the fandom.
My favorite thing about the very, very early stuff is that in the non-furry things, you know, like I have other specifically Worldcon stuff that has, like, one drawing from Mark Merlino that I didn't want to travel with. But, like, they didn't ask him to do furry art for that. That's just what he did. They just make furry stuff and put it in anything. Anything you got, there's, like, a drive. There's this will to anthropomorphize in everything, every chance they get. And, in the South Furlands, in that discussion, which goes on for issues. It's like six issues of Craig Hilton and Fred Patton trying not to be very rude to each other. There's a couple other letters, one of them being from a tabler, and he seems very confused as to why these guys won't stop talking to me about, like, bunnies. It just seems like it was an obsession that, although there was no one to say it in the mid-80s, there was a need. There was, like, this real desire to see things which, like, convention barkers, convention hawkers, just didn't really have ready for. There was a lot of mystery around that. Like, why this? When did this happen? But no, they don't really know. Gallery. Gallery 96. Gallery is a very thick... very thick publication. It's a couple, it's like 125 pages. Gallery 26 is notable. For beginning with this apology. Some accuse me of being undiplomatic. Some more think that it's an understatement on the order of Harlan Ellison is grouchy fat, that's a dirty joke, or nuclear weapons make a loud bang. So, in issue 25, the editor wrote a editorial in which he is very critical of the homosexual presence within the furry family. So, he doesn't think you should be too upset about it. That stuff about mass graves was just a metaphor. So, in issue 25, which I haven't been able to locate, unfortunately, I think this is lost, unless you have gallery number 25, I've seen some Usenet discussion about it, but the editor, Mr... Richard Chandler, who was also on BattleBots in season 4. Weird. Richard Chandler wrote what was known at the time, and in the Usenet discussions about it, was called the Mass Graves editorial, in which he complains about these new fans. Earlier, we saw someone talking about being a Sircon and Sirius fan, and people who are less serious, new fans. They hate new people. And Richard seems to be a little annoyed that these new people showing up are noticeably homosexual. And furries keep talking about it. So in issue 26, a lot of it is a reaction to that. tutorial. Ready to take it, folks. I think it's very, very fun to see. Here's Andrew Kmee posting about this online. We get the issue of Gallery. The Gallery has this hate speech in it that pops out like a real little dude.
Oh no.
And we get some cartoon antics until eventually the guy's defeated. And once again, screw you, Richard. I think they took it with aplomb. Honestly, it was fun to see. But I have not been able to read the original editorial from issue 25. I've talked to a few people about it. I don't know anyone who has it. I'm sure whoever has it isn't giving it up. But it was a big deal at the time. There was a lot of posts at the time. He names names. Mentions Terry Smith specifically. Terry Smith is apparently very mad at Richard Chandler about this, and like insulting Terry Smith is a really bad idea. One of the most prolific artists of that time, still a prolific artist. You know, you just don't want to piss off the people submitting content to your magazine. Oh, I'm about 10 minutes early. So I brought this in case I was a little early. This is published by the same publisher who did Furball, but a lot later, year 2000, volume 1, number 6. So before 1999, there were very few specifically gay interest publications. They would kind of be snuck in to the general furry porn. At best, you have a mix of the two. There's, of course, a genus male, which I don't think existed in spring of 2000. I'd have to check off of that. But you do have alternatives. So we got, like I said, we got about 10 minutes, so I'm just going to look through this with y'all.
Oh, yes.
This is 2000.
I was just trying to drive the sights off.
That's hilarious.
Sorry.
Still around?
I didn't realize that they hit that part. Okay.
Some of it's a little confusing. Guys, hey, come on. You're on the spot here.
Is there anything you're looking for, like, documentation on that kind of stuff? Like, how does it...
Dragon and the Unicorn. More Ollie. I like the scan lines on this. By 2000, scans look a lot better, but they're still not perfect. It's still very crunchy. Oh, this is good. It just keeps going. I think they're carpenters. Oh yeah, that's a tape measure. It's a tape measure.
I wonder.
That's a penis.
Here's an ad for Spontoon Island, another zine. This is a zine that I would not show one of these because it is all about, the theme of it is all about water planes, like tailspin kind of stuff. So there's a lot of like going to visit trucks. So I wouldn't show that. Oh, sure. Oh, wow! Oh wow, you can just do that? Kind of weak line work on that one, I'm just saying. This is.
Oh god.
Word a word search. Medium, suggestive, shaft, head, rim, that's gonna be a hard one. Muscles, licking, lubrication, condom, lover, blow, penetrate, mouth, buns, jizz. You don't see jism much anymore. Embrace, it's raises from jism to embrace, nuts, raunchy, nipple sucking, and jaw.
One time, I've got an uncle Cowboy's name next to the word spooge.
Come on, you didn't say that down here. He said they were separate. Don't cheat.
There's
a word that comes on the list. The first person you know with the correct answer and win a free copy of the next issue. Lubrication's right here. Where's Shaft?
Middle center.
Oh, yeah, Shaft.
Here's
the
right next to your finger on the left. It goes
bottom up. Jizzle. Ooh. Oh, I wouldn't have found that.
Embrace, it's backwards.
I'm looking for sucking, personally.
Embrace,
see
the middle backwards.
I just like
K-O-G-S-S.
Yeah, yeah.
Suggestive.
Yeah. Suggestive.
Sweet. Embraces
here in the
middle.
We could be here all night.
Where? Fourth row of our fourth column over. Go down.
I see lit.
There it is.
Yeah, just suck by itself. Could they mess up and just put suck?
Just like Grim and Job were next to each other.
This is lazy.
Wait.
Head. There's head.
Suck is at the bottom of that column, and lick is on the top of the correct page.
Lick. Yep. I'm guessing that we don't have sucking, we just have suck.
Okay.
Oh, well. Okay, that's about all I brought.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for coming. If you ever see any of this stuff out in the wild, save it. Savor it. Like I said, South Burlands, you can go read it online, just Google it. Bernie Doom has it all online, the old stuff, some stuff that was never actually printed. They're worth a read. They have a lot of narrative to them. You get to see Bernie's like take over, like Chakot start to rule it. It's very fun to like hear them talk about driving the conventions. Thank you very much for coming.
All right.
Once again.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. I will hopefully be bidding on the stuff that's down there tomorrow, so nobody bid on it.